I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Hangman Page, your new world champion. He is, he gains the world championship from Kenneth Omega at full all-out gear. I don't know. I can't keep track. It's hard to keep track of them. Full gear is what he regained the champ. He didn't regain. He gained the championship. Oh. So what happened was the Young Bucks come down to the apron. They kind of look. And then I guess Matt nods at Hangman. Hangman then pins Kenneth Michael Omega. So I don't know exactly what's going on. If they're trying to turn Omega into a face or they're trying to break up the Young Bucks and Kenneth Omega, the Bullet Club. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but apparently the Bucks failed to intervene in the match and Kenny Omega is no longer your AEW World Champion. He went from holding the Impact World Championship along with that AAA World Championship and then the AEW World Championship, and now I don't think he has any of it. He's done.
He's probably going to disappear for a few months, come back.
You think that's what's going to happen? Going to work on the video game?
That's usually what happens. Don't you think? I mean, you know, maybe go to New Japan, do some stuff, or just go chill out in Aruba or something. I don't know.
After that blind item that I shared with you last night.
Well.
Might be headed to rehab.
I figured we'd be getting to that, yeah.
Let me flash this up there for anybody who's...
Go ahead.
There's a blind item. As is the norm with this up-and-coming wrestling organization, all is not what it seems from the outside. This A-lister from the organization announced he was entering rehab for alcohol issues this week, but that's not the whole story. He has had a long-time addiction to opiates as well. He had a near-fatal interaction of alcohol and counterfeit medication containing fentanyl on late Monday night, Tuesday morning that forced him to miss his flight to tapings, and his wife and boss essentially forced him into rehab. It's a miracle he's alive. And only because someone who lived in their complex had Narcan on hand. There has been speculation this will lead to a drug policy within the organization going forward. This blind item comes from crazydaysandnights.net, and it was unmasked as AEW and John Moxley. Crazy Days and Nights is run by this mysterious figure known as Enti Lawyer. He's been doing this sort of thing for 15 or 16 years. He apparently is an entertainment attorney, and he has not been sued successfully out of business because he's still doing this. And he has a lot of big stars that he reveals stuff on, including Ben Affleck and Tom Hanks and Jennifer Lopez.
You've turned him on to me. I don't really know this guy. So what's his rate as get things right?
It's pretty good. It's up there. Being a lawyer and being the guy that he is, he doesn't really publish stuff that's not going to be, especially when he unmasks the blind items and gives you the names, then he's certainly sure that legally he's covered.
Wow.
And he's had some of the biggest, pretty much anybody you want to name. Steven Spielberg has been on that site. And again, if Steven Spielberg wants to sue you, you get sued.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
And say that he's probably got some pretty good lawyers.
I would say he's...
He
knows how to indemnify himself, which I find to be interesting. But you were going to comment on Hangman Page being the new champion.
Oh, yeah. Just real quick, the part about the Bucks, I didn't see the pay-per-view. I had a lot going on this weekend, and I really just hadn't seen it. But I don't know. Have you seen it? Did you actually watch it?
No, I did not. I was just reading notes from it. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you then. You said that about they giving the nod because I didn't. I just looked at the results. I didn't read detail by detail what happened in each match. I just kind of skimmed through things. I did not see that part. I don't know if you watched Dynamite. Was it Dynamite or Rampage? One of the two this past week. I can't remember. The part when Paige goes and has a little face off with the Bucks.
Right.
Initially has one with Adam Cole, which was fucking phenomenal. to me. But anyway, but yeah, I think it had to do with that. But I don't know. Like you said, I don't know if this is a face turn for somebody, a heel turn for, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
Both men exchanged strikes before Omega hit two V triggers, but Page caught a third one and tried to come back with a flurry, but Omega hit the knee anyway. Omega kicked Page in the face until Page defiantly roared back with a lariat. Omega countered with a buckshot lariat with a V trigger, but Page countered with a one-winged angel into one of his own. The Bucks came to ringside, but simply nodded at Page as he hit two buckshot lariats to score the pin and become the All Elite Wrestling World Champion. That title change was obviously coming, but it's still a wonderful moment and the completion of this stage of Page's career. That the match was fantastic certainly helped. Page and Omega absolutely killed it here. After the match, Dark Order came to the ring celebrating with Page and sharing a hug.
Okay, well, you know, maybe this is going to like have some dissension between the Bucks and Cole and Kenny Omega now. You know, why are you out there nodding? Why are you giving them the go ahead? I mean, why were you giving them respect? Why were you giving them anything? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else it would be.
Why didn't you help me?
Why didn't you help? Yeah, why didn't you help me?
Why didn't you help me? Because you have so many times in the past. Why weren't you helping Kenneth Michael Omega?
He apologized. said he was sorry.
Seems to be popular though. I mean, as far as Kenny Omega getting the world championship now, and now he's got to face Bryan Danielson at some point because Bryan Danielson did meet Miro in the that challengers bracket. Let's go through the matches from last night. The pregame show was Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa against Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose. It was Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa defeating Hayter and Nyla Rose via pinfall. That one gets a grade of a C+ from CBS Sports. We begin the pay-per-view proper with MJF against Darby Allin. This one was supposed to be a very good match. And A- with MJF defeating Darby Allin via pinfall. Are we reaching the point in time when Darby Allin needs to get a victory?
See, this, you know, that is funny because I was wondering who was going to end up getting the victory here, because it seems to me, it seems like every time, almost every time anyway, MJF will get the better of everybody, that whoever his opponent is at the time, until the pay-per-view, and then he loses. I mean, it seems that way. Maybe I'm just thinking that. So I didn't want that to happen again. But then you said, you know, mentioned Darby kind of on a losing streak too. So I was like, I guess, you know, it went about as well as you could imagine, I guess, with both of them on losing streaks like that, with MJF getting the tainted victory with the, you know, nailing him with that ring or whatever.
And it is interesting that they've had to very recently drop the alcohol portion of the cowboy mantra, that motif.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I don't really have a problem with that. I honestly, that scenario, that whole gimmick has been played out anyway, you know, whatever. Good riddance.
They could have done that a long time ago. Why did it take all of a sudden John Moxley having some issues before they dropped that part of it?
I totally agree, man. And go back and listen to our podcast. I mentioned it at one point several months ago, maybe a year or two ago or so ago, that I didn't like that alcohol thing. I thought it was stupid. I think we're talking about Scott Hall or something and kind of led into that. But, yeah, I'm good. I'm glad it's gone.
It was they turned him into Last Call Scott Hall. It was really – but yeah, I'm glad he's a world champion. There's a lot they can do with him. I don't know. You know, again, Bryan Danielson's going to be the challenger.
I'm a little shocked at that. How about you, man? I thought Miro was going to win. I thought they were going to use the whole Bryan Danielson was, you know, wrestled two or three times in the last week and he was tired and that sort of bullshit. And it kind of set up Miro, you know, being the heel. And
you can't beat Bryan right now. There's no way they can beat Bryan. They can't beat Bryan. They can't beat Punk. There's no way those guys can lose matches right now.
No, I know. I don't know. Unless you set up something like a Danielson Page thing and then Miro interferes somehow, or, you know, some stupid shit like that.
Remember, my theory is they're going to be working toward Bryan Danielson versus CM Punk for next Labor Day. I think that's going to be the plan. And everything's going to kind of move into that. Maybe Bryan gets the championship away from Hangman, and then maybe he becomes a huge, massive, ugly tyrant. And then Punk comes to save the day. But this CM Punk, Eddie Kingston thing has really thrown kind of a wrench into things, hasn't it? A little bit.
I know, man. That kind of popped out of left field, right?
Kind of turned Punk into a little bit of a heel, didn't it?
I know. But
it, a little bit of a heel.
It, well, that just shows you how much damn power Eddie Kingston has that I don't think he gets enough credit for, dude. I mean, dude is hot.
For everything that has happened this year, and CM Punk's involvement in AEW has only been since the end of August. Holy shit, you might want to say that Eddie Kingston is the MVP of this promotion this year.
He held it together more than once, on more than one occasion, talking about different shows, you know, that for whatever reason weren't up to standards.
He became somewhat of the locker room leader after the death of Brody Lee, kind of cheerleading everybody together. And then he's been involved with several programs. You know, when they had this shit show at the end of the pay-per-view with the sparklers and everything.
Oh, God, yeah.
He and Mox were able to turn chicken salad out of chicken shit in that notion. And
I think that was the kind of the start of things for him. I mean, I think he was kind of popular anyway, but I think that was kind of the that greased the skids on him, I think, you know.
That was when they were able to make something out of that, which was truly, you know, a terrible moment. And then they were able to kind of make some kind of a victory out of that. That was something else. That was a big deal for I would vote, I think, for Eddie Kingston being the MVP of the company. Obviously, CM Punk has gotten eyeballs and people interested in the company that didn't even know about it before. But again, he didn't come onto the scene until late August.
Yeah.
So
over half the year. I mean, if we're talking, you know, year and that regard.
It is your brothers against FTR for the world championship. They are again beaten. I don't know. I can't remember the last time FTR actually won a match in this promotion.
Yeah, man. That one kind of shocked me too, man. I thought it was set right up for them to take that shit, man. They really haven't been spotlighting the Lucha brothers lately. You know, and usually when people get a lot of vignettes and video packages and shit like that, that kind of is a telltale sign to me that they're not going to be losing anytime soon. But you really haven't seen much of them, even though they're tag champions. They've kind of been laying low almost. So I thought they were going to lose. I don't know.
I don't know. These guys lose a lot of matches for a team that's supposed to be over, and this one wasn't even, I guess, the Young Bucks' fault. A lot of time, you know, there is this theory that they've been kind of getting shit on at the expense of the Young Bucks.
But yeah, not this time. I can't really.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
The Cucamonga kids can't be blamed for this one. It gets a B+ from CBS Sports. That match does. Miro against Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament. Danielson locks Miro into a triangle choke, but Miro clawed at the eyes to break the hold. Miro would dare Danielson to kick him in the ribs, repeatedly absorbing the shots before dropping Danielson with a return kick. Miro took Danielson to the top rope, only for Danielson to hit a tornado DDT, driving Miro from the second rope into the canvas. Danielson locked into a guillotine choke, and the match was waved off, with Danielson scoring the win in another really good match with some brutal action. Again, according to CBSSports.com, the finishing moment wasn't totally smooth, but did play into the Miro story that his neck and DDTs are his weakness. Danielson now the number one contender. The match gets a B+. So they've already put Bryan Danielson in a position to compete for the world championship.
Okay. Imagine that match of those two guys in WWE, which I don't remember ever happening. And now look at, you know, they're like two of the hottest things right now in AEW. Putting on apparently a hell of a match. I can't remember whose review I read, but it said this match was, A+ material or B+ material or whatever. It was a great match. So, yeah, here we go. AEW versus WWE.
Apparently, Daniel Bryan took on Rusev in the men's Money in the Bank qualifying match on SmackDown, May 8th of 2018. So that may have been the only time that previously they had actually been in action together.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Is that all it says? Was it really some storyline involved? I'm trying to think if there's any.
Just trying to qualify. No, it was probably a cold match with them trying to qualify for Money in the Bank.
Yeah. I wouldn't remember that anyway.
Right.
Obviously It wasn't memorable for me.
Were they? Are you getting all of these reports now that BR Live and the Bleacher Report thing was troubled? The stream was not great, and they weren't able to get the instant replay. And now they've made it so after the fact you can buy the thing on Fight TV. You can get the replay on Fight TV.
Oh no, I haven't heard all this.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what the great Tony Khan, American businessman Tony Khan, is doing with that. Because sometimes you can buy it on BR Live. Sometimes you can buy it on Fight TV. And then now apparently I don't understand what he's doing exactly.
Well, I'll be honest, but and maybe I'm just not up to par on what things are, how things are really are, but it's just my perception of things. But it just seems to me those platforms are a little sus to watch a pay-per-view anyway.
I don't know. I think Fight has always been good for me. BR Live has been fine when I've used it. But yeah, I think it doesn't give you a tremendous amount of confidence.
I was reminded of the
New Japan was fine. But the one I was reminded of was the one that Cornette was talking about, Go Fight Live, the one they used to use for the ROH pay-per-views, which was always like, an absolute crapshoot. It was
dreadful. Yeah.
Yeah, there was always some huge issue and something going on with it.
Imagine that. I can't imagine that in ROH having some issue with some shit like that, you know.
Christian Cage with the Jurassic Express versus the Super Click and a Falls Count Anywhere. Grade of B+. It was Christian Cage and the good guys winning on this one.
I saw that was a pretty good match, too.
They attempt very, very much to get Christian Cage the I Don't Know What to Do with This Guy award. Cody Rhodes and Pac against Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo. This one getting a B-. Andrade tags someone in, but he was caught by a flurry of offense, including a poison Rana and a black arrow to score the win. This was not up to the standards of the rest of the show, but that was somewhat by design, with two teams that in storyline could barely function as a unit, making for some messy action. So since we have a lot of conflicted opinions about Cody Rhodes, let's throw him into a tag team where there's a guy he probably shouldn't be tagging with. That's a good idea.
Just everything about that match was just awkward. And it's not like I don't like those four guys individually, but just in a match like that with no context of anything really other than Malakai and Cody having it, it just didn't make sense, man. I mean, I guess Pac and Idolo have their thing, but you know, that's just, let them go one-on-one. It just didn't make sense to me. I don't know.
Do we have a better answer this week as to why the fans don't like Cody Rhodes? Why people are booing Cody Rhodes?
Now, did he get booed during this? I didn't read. Does it say?
I think he did get booed. Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. I guess overexposure, man. I kind of Roman Reigns-ish, kind of John Cena-ish kind of thing.
You might have something there. I think that might be exactly what we're looking at there.
I mean, he went from Stardust to this in like seemingly no time to me.
Do you know how fucking over he would be if he put the Stardust paint on? Do you know how fucking over that guy would be right now if he put the Stardust paint on?
Can he do that?
They could do something.
And not sort call him Stardust?
Yeah, they have to call him something else. Dust Star.
Dust.
That's gotta be Dust Star. You do something like that. That'd be pretty good.
Wasn't that the ship in Star Wars? The Dust Star?
Luke, you got to hit the air conditioning vent on the Dust Star.
Hey, call it the Dust Star.
That Dust Star, it's going to explode. It's going to explode. Vince McMahon calls Star Wars. That's Darth Vader. He's going to choke him. He's choking him. Darth Vader, he's Luke's father. He's Luke's father. He didn't say that to him. And now the Sith Lord is saying to Darth Vader, there you go.
Oh, Darth Vader's been one-upped.
here come Yoda. They're going to turn Yoda into some sort of like dink and doink kind of situation.
Like Hornswoggle. Yoda's exactly. Really Hornswoggle.
Here comes Yoda to the ring. Oh, my. Do some shit like that. Yoda's coming in. He's going to levitate. He's going to levitate. What else could happen here on the Dagobah system? Oh, my. Do some shit like that. Good times.
Oh, God. That's so awesome.
Cody Rhodes and Pac defeating Malakai Black. And you know, like, the Bruce Pritchard would be the Jar Jar Binks. They would like, man, Jar Jar Binks is a good character. Conrad, I don't know why that didn't go over. Dave Meltzer's full of shit.
That match with Chewbacca was A+.
Man, you got a lot of innuendo and gossip and bullshit like that, man. That Jar Jar Binks was good. Jar Jar Binks! Yeah! Ah! Do that shit right there. That's what he's gonna do. All right, back to the program. PROG.
The program.
RUM.
RUM. Yes. I have relatives that say it like that.
Exactly, you do. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. Oh, CM Punk has his trunks now. He's got his MMA trunks, but he doesn't have his sponsorships yet. He's just got that Chicago flag on his MMA trunks now. He can't figure out his look because he was going with the trunks when he came back. Then he was doing long pants for half a second. Now he's back to he's on MMA trunks now.
That's cool. He's just, you know, feeling things out, shaking it up.
Well, that's gonna he's finally gonna get like his sponsorships. On the panels on his trunks, like they do.
Is he going to do that? Have you heard?
Well,
this?
I mean, that was one of the grievances against Vince, and he was doing it for the boys. Remember, he went to Vince and he said, "I want to do this," because after the pipe bomb thing, he had all these opportunities and people wanted to put. But then Vince was like, "No, you can't do that." And then all of a sudden, of course,
gotcha.
Then Brock comes in with Jack Lynch and the tractor company or whatever the fuck he had on his
shit
because he already had pre-existing deals with them. So now Tony Khan, being the good guy he wants, who loves the boys, I do everything for the boys. I'm Tony Khan. I'm Squinty McGee. Hi, I love you so much. Everything's fine. He's going to let him have like some sponsors on his for the boys. Going to do it for the boys. Eventually, when you talk about the streaming platforms and stuff for All Elite Wrestling, you know, HBO Max would be something they could use because they're part of the same company. They're trying to split all that shit apart right now. I think HBO is going to be like its own thing, and then Warner is going to be, you know, they're trying to do all that stuff. But, you know, if you could ever put like a big, huge, massive event on the HBO Max platform, and I'm sure those discussions have begun. You know, you could do that at some point. The leading indicators from what I was seeing from David Meltzer was that as far as their Google search stuff and their social media mentions was that this was not going to be a great buy rate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it didn't look like, based on what he was seeing, that this was going to be a tremendous buy rate, at least in comparison with previous shows. And everybody was saying this is like maybe the best show they put on top to bottom, but they may not get all of the credit for it. So,
yeah, I like I said, the one when I read what I read, everything looked like pretty much everything looked like it was a great match. So, yeah, that's a little shocking.
Kingston, well, it's Joe Biden's fault because people are paying so much more for gasoline and bacon, they can't afford the $50 for the pay-per-view.
Damn it, Brandon.
God damn it. Brandon, you fucked me. Wait a minute. You fucked Tony. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you. I love it when you fuck Tony. That's a good thing. Kingston taunted he was going to hit Punk's own move, but turned around, and Punk was the one that hit the GTS. Kingston missed the back fist, and Punk started driving elbows into Kingston's head as the crowd booed. A confused Punk looked out to the crowd as he hit knees in the clinch. And another go to sleep for the win. Punk tried to shake Kingston's hand after the match, but Kingston refused to walk out of the ring. A wonderfully told story in the ring that backed up a great story told ahead of the match. An A grade for CBS Sports for Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, who I could see wrestle each other 100 trillion times and I could never get tired of it. Yeah.
I'm I really wouldn't be shocked right now if Punk went heel on us. I mean, they if they played along with the crowd, I mean, I don't know how long this will withstand.
This is hard, but because what he really needs to do to go heel, I don't think they're ready to do it. I think that's for him to shit on the audience.
Oh, I know.
He's got a really, it's like, I can't.
Well, maybe this is a slow burn into it, man.
Well, if you're going to go, he could go into it. He could say, look, I came back here in August. I thought everything was going to be okay, but I like everything about AEW except you disgusting fans. You have been so disappointing to me, and it reminds me of why I stayed away from this business for 7 years.
You know that's coming.
I hope that's what's happening.
I don't know if not next week maybe, but it's coming at some point.
He's going to he can definitely cut promos way better than I can on that. But yeah, it'll be like all I ever do for you guys is it's never enough. I'm tired of you guys. All you want is stuff from me, and I give, and it's never
enough. And you boo me. What do? You boo me.
And you suck the soul out of me, and you root for this bum, Eddie Kingston, who can't carry my jock. You know, shit like that.
He's set right up for that, dude.
And then that's when he changes his look. He can shave, and then he can shave the sides of his head again, go with the short haircut. He was always the master. Edge. He could always change his look, like, so well, like, better than anybody.
Yeah,
At a drop of a dime. He was so good at that. Here's the boy, this is the rivalry that no one wants. It's America's top team against the Inner Circle, Bryant.
Mm.
Dan Lambert's boys, in this case, it's going to be Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovski, and Dan Lambert in a Minneapolis street fight, Bryant, which I believe means they brawl with Purple Rain in the background.
Skull.
I think that's skull. And the loser has to eat lutefisk, or maybe it's the winner. I'm not sure. One of those.
Nice.
It was described, the match was described as being good. Not good, but it was entertaining. A B-.
Okay. I don't recall what this got. I don't think that might have been, this might have been one of the lower ones or the lowest one rated. But I couldn't remember. C- sounds about right.
This was your go take a shit, go get some popcorn match.
And here he is. The Sammy Guevara. Deal off the, what was it, off the a ladder, I guess.
Yeah.
That was pretty harsh. I'll give him some credit on that one.
Massive swanton on Sky. That's what they said.
I was on Sky. Yeah, was it on Sky?
Yep, I think it was.
I thought it was All Ego. Okay.
It was on Sky Television. Oh, it says
on Sky Television. Oh, up in Canada, eh?
Jay Lethal making his All Elite Wrestling debut, Bryant. Lethal confirmed his show that he is now All Elite and answered Sammy Guevara's open challenge for the TNT Championship, suggesting that the match Wednesday night on Dinamito, Guevara returned to the entrance ramp and he accepted that challenge. So Jay Lethal is exiting the sinking ship that is Ring of Honor Wrestling and making his way over to the Tony Khan crew, the TKK.
TKK, as they're well known on the street. Smart. All right. First of all, smart move for Lethal. You know, I'm not take away anything away from him for that. That was nice timing and good land. Nice all the way around. Just I can't imagine a better scenario for him with being on a sinking ship. You know, that is and. Was, I guess, ROH, or was, will be ROH. So that being said, this is where I've heard, and everybody says I've heard, but I have heard, I've read, this being kind of a litmus test, as it were, for to see how fans react to him. To see about bringing in other people such as Rick, as Marty Scurll, and people like that. Now, if it's true or not, I don't know. Out of the three, I think what Lethal has been accused of is pretty well known throughout the wrestling world, fans included. I think most fans that are in the know hadn't forgotten about it. It's not in the news anymore, but I don't think people have forgotten about it. So it will be interesting to see how he is, how the response is. I don't know what the response was last night. I don't know if you happen to know.
I think everything I've seen has been positive so far, but this, okay, this presents somewhat of a challenge for the quote unquote woke promotion.
Well, yeah.
That's just,
he was never, you know, he was never nailed for anything. It's all accusatory shit. So you just don't know. I mean, you can sit here and say, well, you know, well, it looks awful bad in his favor if you look at both sides or whatever, but nothing was ever confirmed and all that stuff. So it's he said, she said kind of stuff when you want to nail it down, but I don't know. It's not just Taylor Hendricks that was doing this. It was more than just her. So, but I think she was just the one that was speaking out the most on it.
July 7th of 2020, former ROH World Ring of Honor champion Kelly Klein took to Twitter last night, called the company out for allegedly covering up allegations made against top Ring of Honor star Jay Lethal. Lethal has issued a response denying the allegations. Klein recalled how J-Rock was dismissed from the company after an incident, but claims ROH ignored or covered up multiple accusations against Lethal. When J-Rock harassed a female member of the Ring of Honor locker room, he was told to leave and was not welcome back. This is what Kelly Klein was saying. She added in a missive that she would like I can't read some of this stuff because it's covered up by a lot of advertising and stuff. But she's basically saying, and of course, like you said, he has denied. But you wonder if this is going to refresh some of those accusations, if people are going to be a little more, if they're going to be a little more emboldened to come forward, you know?
I can't imagine this not rekindling that old dubious flame again, man, and having people like Taylor Hendricks, who I haven't heard from since all this, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know what she's doing anymore. To have her look on, you know, watch AW and see homeboy coming out on there and her getting all fired up again and start tweeting and, you know, and Kelly Klein, maybe she'll do the same thing. You know, I don't know. But you do, if it's a one-on-one thing, you know, it's just he and Taylor Hendricks had some beef or something, you know, you don't know. Sure. I mean, you don't know, but when you got Kelly Klein coming in, two or three other girls have mentioned, I don't remember, maybe not even giving their names, but it was more than one or two people. So when you know, when it gets to that point, you gotta just go, there's probably something to this.
There's a whole lot of smoke. I don't see a fire, but I see
a whole lot of smoke.
I see a bunch of smoke here, but I don't know. But I think your dream match, as far as I'm concerned, if they're going to pick the bones of ROH, Briscoe's against FTR. Come on, give me that for Christmas.
Let me just say, if the Briscoes don't go to AEW now, and get in the mainstream finally of things. I mean, I'm not saying ROH not mainstream, but I'm talking the main TBS, yeah. TNT, right. That mainstream. I don't know what to do, man. That blows my mind if that does not happen, man.
As far as that goes, just take my money. If there's an FTR versus Briscoe's match,
forget
I'm fucking there. I don't care if it's on BR Live, BR 549. I don't give a shit. It don't matter to me if it's.
And normally I don't like long, lengthy matches. Let that bitch go 60 minutes. I have no issue with that. I'm with you, brother.
That's insane. That would be just like the craziest thing. Please don't make it into a three-way and put the Bucks in there. Please don't allow Matt and Nick to work their magic and book themselves into this shit. Even as vice presidents, please let them stay the fuck out of this match. Please.
God, see? That's dreadful.
All Elite Wrestling World Championship, we covered this. Hangman Page is your new champion. He is the standard bearer now for All Elite Wrestling, and apparently his top challenger is going to be Daniel Bryanson. Bryan Danielson. I like to call him Daniel Bryanson from time to time because that's funny. Your name's going to be Daniel Bryan.
Son.
I just call him the American Dragon.
There's a new take.
He is the American Dragon. Gary Michael come out and say, he is the American Dragon! one of the guys on Dan Levitard's show likes to do the Gary Michael Capetta Flying Brian. Flying Brian! He loves to do
hell
that.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of – it looks like they're coming off a very successful pay-per-view. They got a lot of momentum as they're going to switch channels in the matter of about 6 weeks, going over to a whole other channel because the National Hockey League has a home now on TNT, Brian.
Yes. I don't know. You think it's going to hurt them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it takes a while for people to kind of reconfigure. And you've seen the switch from Saturday and back and how that's affected ratings and stuff. So, yes, they will have to reestablish themselves on TBS for sure.
I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I would think switching channels would be a whole lot easier for people to get acclimated to than switching days.
Maybe.
You can look on the guide and say, "Oh, there it is." Okay, I'm, you know.
But people, but you know how people's like
how stupid they are. Yeah,
yes, they're stupid and they have dumb viewing habits. And then there's a whole thing about people getting fucked up by daylight savings time and shit. You know,
hey, I get messed up on daylight savings time. So. Come on now.
But you're not showing up an hour early to places, are you?
No. Well, no. I didn't. Not that bad. My it's just a body chemistry kind of thing.
This one is making the rounds. I'll show you the headline. Becky Lynch doesn't trust Charlotte Flair after SmackDown incident.
Thank you for bringing this up.
This was in Sports Illustrated, an interview. And this has been picked up by the New York Post. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair don't like each other in WWE storyline, and the feud may not blend into real life. Lynch was a guest on the Sports Illustrated Media podcast this week. She was asked about reports that she and Charlotte Flair had a backstage incident after Lynch allegedly went off script and Flair felt disrespected. I don't know, man, Lynch said. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk. So all I say is the locker room needs a hero sometimes, and somebody's going to be a hero. I'm all right being that hero. That's what I'm going to say. On that matter, would you care to unpack that particular statement from Rebecca Lynch?
I don't know how to unpack that, man. I don't know how to unpack her or freaking Seth Rollins anymore in any aspect. I really don't. They just seem like they've completely gone off the rails to me, and gimmick-wise or whatever. But anyway, I think it's one of the cases, and I'm going to use your terminology, man. I think this is a case of Occam's razor. I think this is a shoot that's become a work.
Oh, I think that's the correct take. I think that's probably, yeah. But I also heard there's also, as you find out more details about that backstage incident, it appears that Sonya Deville also got involved.
I didn't see this.
Yeah. There was some ugliness involved.
For real shoot.
She she was like separating them and maybe with so.
Oh, okay.
For the moment, let's just go ahead and for purposes of discussion say that these are very real emotions and that no one likes Charlotte. Charlotte has been throwing her weight around being a quote unquote diva, and people backstage are now applauding Becky Lynch for quote unquote standing up to the tyrant, the bully, Charlotte Flair. Would you say that that's the narrative that's kind of being presented here?
That's the narrative that's being presented that I can tell, yes.
So, a couple of things about that. First of all, I'm fine with that, whatever. But if you yourself think that you have now become queen shit because you stood up to Charlotte Flair, that's going to put a fair amount of heat on you because nobody wants to hear like, oh, I'm the greatest. I stood up to her when nobody else could. Fuck
bingo.
You.
Bingo. Fuck See, you, that's what no. makes me think this is a work here.
Well, they're overworking it if that's the case, then they're taking the batter and they're mixing it too much.
Well, don't you think too that there's been a lot of damn pub put out on this with her on that podcast you were just talking about, that video cast or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then New York Post picking it up. It that's just a little too much, man. So it's a little chart jumping almost going on here.
Well, you have a situation I think that was real, and they're
for a moment in the heat of the moment.
They're rushed to turn it into work has completely, I think, ruined it. It feels like to me.
Hang on, hang on. Matt Hardy and Edge on lines 1 and 2.
I think they're, I mean, it's the old, and people can shit on Jerry Jarrett all they want to, but personal issues create cash. Personal issues create that. That's how you do that.
Yes, absolutely. No doubt.
This is from the article for Halloween. Two sources told Mike Johnson of PWIinsider.com, and we both respect Mike Johnson. He's the guy that essentially got Vince Russo kicked out of TNA finally because of an errant email.
My man, Mike.
Thank you, Michael. Two sources told Mike Johnson of PW Insider that DeVille was mad enough to want to fight Flair. It was also reported that DeVille and Flair argued backstage following the show. It has been reported Flair was escorted out of the arena by security that night following the altercation. Johnson's report also stated that some in Charlotte Circle pushed the idea of her trying to get out of her WWE deal, though that's not expected to actually happen. Well,
let me just say this. I know that Charlotte Flair is athletic. I know she is the fucking shit and all that and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, I would not want to piss Sonya Deville off. You know, I don't know where all that happened.
In a shoot fight, my money would be on Sonya Deville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I also think in a shoot fight between Becky and Charlotte, my money would be on Becky.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think in a shoot fight.
What about Sasha and Charlotte?
That one's tough. Because I just.
What about Bayley and Charlotte?
Another tough one.
That's another tough one.
The reason I think Sasha would have an advantage over Charlotte is because she did grow up in the streets. She was like a street kid. She did not have grow up with the privileged background that Charlotte did. She did not. She was a scrapper. So I would put my. That's why I would give Sasha an edge. Bayley, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know if Bayley has the capacity to get ugly and low down the way that Charlotte would.
She'd probably hold her own up at least up to a point. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's got that extra edge in her.
I don't like. I would say that Liv Morgan could not beat Charlotte up basically just because she's so much smaller.
She's much smaller. Yeah.
Zelina Vega's.
I think Naomi would tear Charlotte a new one.
Oh yeah, I think Naomi. I think would kick her ass. Zelina is tiny, but again, that's another street brawler.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I wouldn't take her too lightly at all.
That's another street brawler. I think she could overcome just about any of that stuff. Obviously, Shayna Baszler would whoop her ass right from here to fucking Durham. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to second guess that shit at all.
You got any thoughts? What about Shotzi Blackheart against Charlotte Flair in a shoot fight?
Oh, gosh, that's a toss-up, man. I really hadn't. Shotzi seems like she could go. I don't know, man. I think Shotzi might take her.
Rhea Ripley could wipe the floor with Charlotte.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, it's pretty similar to her dad, I think. I mean, Charlotte's dad couldn't win shoot fights against a lot of guys in the locker room, and that's why he didn't get into them.
Yeah. People don't realize that. Really, they don't. Some people do, but a lot of people don't realize that.
Wasn't there that story about Flair being in Japan one time and Harley saying, "I'm going to take the title off of you"? And he goes, "No problem, big man," or something like that. There was just like something like that. Like, "I'm just going to roll over and show you my belly because I am not going to do this. This ain't
whatever happened. You say, handsome one."
There's no. Yeah, I just can't think of many in shoot fights, but as far as taking those things and then translating them, the WWE's not really good at that. The WWE's not been great at that. It's to me that always works better in smaller promotions, you know?
What, like the Brawl for All? Come on. What you talking about?
Bro, I still stand by it, bro. We shut JBL's mouth, bro.
You know, I can't. Yeah. If there's one thing that I can say that came out silver lining wise, that might be it. out of that whole thing.
We got to see what a fucking clown again that Vince Russo is.
Well, that too.
You don't remember Bart Gunn drawing big money over a number of years in World Wrestling Entertainment during the Attitude Era?
Oh, let me think. No.
Let's go back to our blind item about John Moxley being admitted to outpatient treatment for alcohol addiction. Wink, wink.
Okay, so once again, your take on this is you trust this person here that posted this. What's his name again?
He goes username. By the moniker of NT Lawyer, and that's on Twitter.
NT Lawyer.
ENTY Lawyer. And he's been doing this for more than 15 years. He's been in the entertainment industry for a number of years. And like I said, any of the biggest brands in Hollywood have been mentioned on that site, and they have not sued him.
Okay. Huh.
And I'm talking, I mean, Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Jennifer Lopez. I think he was one of the guys that was on the Harvey Weinstein thing well before anybody else was. Yeah.
Wow.
Any kind of, I mean, I think the Meghan Markle stuff, he's been all over that shit. He's got currently very strong hints that there is an affair between Adele and Prince Harry. He's got some very strong hints of that. So he's a bit of a shadowy figure, but again, he's not been impeached. And this is for something that you make up, there's some fucking incredible detail in this.
Well, see, that's the thing that gets me.
Yes. That
people who tend to write stuff like they're put something, they're not going to get that detailed on some stuff. I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? People just don't do that.
So, I mean, and God bless Renee if this is what she's going through.
God, I know.
But if she wants to martyr herself and go, no, this is a lie. We don't live in a complex. He didn't overdose. That's not true. But, you know, again, I don't know if there would be public records. I know a little bit about this stuff. Obviously, when people respond to overdoses, that's more of a medical problem. And in all of your greater cities, you are not allowed to take down patients' names or learn patients' names because of HIPAA laws. So
can you go back and look at calls received as a member of the general public, like on that particular day?
If you knew what you were looking for and you knew the general address, yeah, you would be able to do that. You would be able to go to their 911 center and say, do you have a call for 1511 27th Street Apartment C at blah, blah, blah? And what happened there? And then it would say, oh, we have an overdose here. Guy was hit with Narcan. EMS responded. Person was either transported or not. Police also responded. There were no charges filed, et cetera, et cetera. You would be able to find out that information from any 911 center in America if you knew the address that you were looking for.
How hard is it to do that? I mean, how hard is it for me right now to, if I knew the address and knew everything about that I needed to know, all the details you just said, how hard would it be to call right now and ask for, you know, if they could help me out with that?
Not hard. Not hard. I looked on their website for Las Vegas Metro PD. I didn't look at their emergency communications, but a lot of places like the one I work for, they do it on the internet. You can just type in the request and they'll get back to you. And they're obligated to do that. Now, if you want a recording, they'll send you a recording. So if Renee's voice is on that recording, you would know. They would have to redact the address and a few personal, like phone numbers and personal details and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard them do that before, yeah.
If it was, in fact, Renee that called 911, then yeah, that recording would exist somewhere.
Well, don't you think... Even if it wasn't Renee, don't you think there is probably a 911 recording from somebody if it's not Renee?
Look, if they responded and he was fucking hit with Narcan and he's lucky to be alive. When you administer Narcan to somebody, that's not like I wonder if he needs some Narcan. That's like somebody dying.
He's basically dead.
Blue. Yeah. You're turning blue and you're not breathing. That's generally what happens with Narcan. I don't know if you've read some of the article, or heard some of the interviews with Ric Flair about Reed. Reed would overdose so much, Ric Flair was kind of on a first name basis with the paramedics. So when you hear that 911 tape that of the day that Reed died, Ric's very distraught and he's turning blue and he's upset. But I've heard him on other interviews go, well, we kind of thought it would be another thing where they would come in, they would be able to hit him with do what, you know, sprinkle the magic EMS dust on him, and they would just come and tell me it's okay. But no, they came into the next room, in the hotel room, and I said, Rick, we couldn't bring him back this time. So, yeah, this to me, and again, if we are to believe this, I would say that there's a fair chance that this is not the first time that this sort of thing has happened. So the question again, the question again becomes for Tony Khan is, over the years, when wrestlers were dying at the age of 38, 40, 42, 46, 48, 50, people would point the finger at Vince McMahon and go, "What you need to do more. You're not doing." And Vince McMahon would go, "Hey, I can't. What they do when they go home? I can't, you know." And people would go, "Bullshit. Ball's in your court. You should do something." Go, okay. We'll test. We'll do this. Blah blah blah. So if we hold Vince McMahon to a standard, and I think the wellness policy in the WWE has gotten way better, although the exemption for part-time guys is somewhat ridiculous.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, by the way, I was watching Wrestling with Shadows, the Hitman Hart thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to note, there's Julie Hart, Brett's wife at the time, after he's getting screwed in the hallway, dressing down Hunter and going, "Hunter, did you know about this?" And Hunter swearing to God, she goes, you can swear to God, but God's going to get you one day for this, Hunter. God's going to get you. And you think about the problems now that Hunter Hearst Helmsley is having. You think about the problems that Paul Levesque is having right now. And was that woman right or was that woman right? Huh?
Yeah, you know.
So Tony Khan, if you're going to have a wrestling promotion for the boys by the boys, you need to figure out where you stand on this situation, because at some point in time, you might have guys dropping like flies. That might be a thing that happens. And some of the guys are going to be like, "I don't know if I necessarily want to piss in a cup so much." Well, again, you were supposed to be the opposite of WWE. These are not supposed to be contractors. They're supposed to be employees. You're supposed to be on their side, getting them insurance, getting the benefits, all this other shit. You cannot turn a blind eye toward this and let the boys run the show and let them give you a wink and a nod when it comes to drug testing. What if, as of right now, because we know it's a playground for the boys right now, All Elite Wrestling is just Disneyland for wrestlers. What if there's a massive drug problem already in All Elite Wrestling? What if there's already a huge issue with this?
I hope not.
I'm just saying, the thing that makes the most sense to me always for these guys is to, let them smoke as much weed as they want to. I don't have a problem with you. In fact, there's a great argument to make that if we would have just let guys smoke weed all this time, they wouldn't have gotten hooked on all these pain pills. They would have been able to manage the pain with weed, right?
Why not? Yeah.
So
at least it's more natural.
Just think about what's going on in All Elite Wrestling. Think about again, hey, this is, you know, we're going to do stuff for the boy. But then, you know, there's got to be a daddy figure in there somewhere. There's got to be a daddy figure to say, whoa, we're not going to allow this to be WCW 1998 or WWE 1998 or, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling 1985. We're not going to just be doing blow in the back and all this other shit and just give a wink and a nod, because that's what we do. That's what happens. You can't do that in 2021 because people die, and they die pretty quickly, and then it's on your ass. By the way, you're a billionaire and your dad's a billionaire, and you guys are going to be liable for some of this behavior if you don't set up or at least show some due diligence in trying to set up some sort of health measures for these people that you're employing.
Yeah, I just pure curiosity here. I'm just sitting here brainstorming, thinking. I wonder how many death threats, just heinous emails and whatever on social media your boy there has gotten since he posted that. Because I know of one certain person, just like you know, that got hit pretty hard when somebody else actually passed away. And questions were raised and that sort of thing. So I'm just wondering, did this guy get?
It's just interesting.
I'd like to know.
Tony doesn't seem to be able to tell the truth about a lot of shit. He just doesn't seem to be able to tell the truth about a lot of things. And I understand it's tough. I understand there's a lot of scrutiny. I understand you thought everybody would just be welcoming you with open arms. I heard, again, Tony Khan is a friend of the Dan Le Batard show, and they had him on. He was talking about the pay-per-view stuff, and they were just kind of chatting with him about, yep, I'm going to take any tough questions about the Jaguars. Yep. And they were just kind of moving on because, you know, wink and a nudge. But everything's really kind of funny until all of a sudden somebody in a hotel room in Minneapolis doesn't come out for the pay-per-view. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't. It's all fun and games until somebody dies. Just basically what happens.
That's the deal. And I'm, you know, ultimately the key to this whole thing is Jon Moxley getting healthy. That's the key to the whole thing.
Regardless of how true that is or how false, we know he's got an issue. So yes, whatever it is, we want him better.
So, but now Tony Khan's got an out. If they go, why did you say it was like just this alcohol thing instead of this very much more serious, hey, he was turning blue and had to be hit with Narcan. Well, you know, the family only told me to tell you this and so much. And I could only, I was only, yeah, that shit don't fly either.
Did you happen to catch, I don't know, I guess it's 2 or 3 weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, the whole tweet thing between Kalisto and Jericho? Did you see that shit?
I saw some of this. Was this about spelling Brody Lee's name wrong or something? And then
then
Amanda gets involved, and it's like this is the most fucking high school shit that I've ever seen.
I don't get it. And I was talking with somebody about this, man. And it's like, you know, I don't know the background of Kalisto and Jericho. I don't know if there's some beef between those two that go back to somewhere, and he's just being an asshole, or if he's just being an asshole. Jericho's just being an asshole by just correcting Kalisto by telling him how to spell his name just out of the blue for no reason. That's definitely being an asshole. But then, so like, I don't
Amanda,
know how to take
Amanda
that.
Amanda has to jump in, and
that's the part that got me.
A level of pain that you have to exhibit in order to honor her husband, and if you weren't there at this and such a time, then shut the fuck up. And if you were, then you get to clench and moan and cry all you want to, but if you don't, then you're not allowed in the grief club. I don't understand that. I don't get that.
That whole thing was Kalisto was the most, with Jericho and Amanda seemed to be the most snarky thing
it was.
I've seen. And I don't know how to take that. I don't want to believe it was as snarky as it looked, but man, how can I not? How can you not?
The sympathy that she has had stored toward her for a year now, some of that's getting chipped away at. The more that you do this stuff, it's like you must be this tall to ride the grief ride. And Kalisto, you don't make the cut, so how dare you talk about my dead husband?
So I don't, And there, like I said, I don't know if there's some beef there. Let's say there is a beef. Let's say that Jericho and him have some beef from way back when or whatever. How about telling us about it before you put up some snarky tweet, like retweeting his stuff and saying that shit so people will know and not think you're being just an asshole?
Well, Jericho has shown himself to be an, this has been like
the
year that we saw the real Chris Jericho.
Yes.
This has been like, without question, the year that we saw the real Chris Jericho. And then hopefully people won't die from his little cruise. I hope that's a thing.
I hope not.
No one has to die from his stupid ass, ill-advised cruise, but that's fine.
But, at least Robert Gibson got tested.
Okay. Look,
that's all I'm saying.
I'll say it again. I've said this and I've gone off on it. I feel like they're exploiting this guy's death. I feel like they have paraded around the bloody flag of John Huber now for almost an entire year. It was certainly a tragic event. Those children's lives will never be the same. But I'm not really sure at what threshold is it okay for me to be a part of the grief. If I'm at a 6, no, but if I'm at a 7, then I'm allowed to grieve him. And I really did appreciate him when he was here, and I really do miss him. No, fuck you. You don't. I'm the wife. I will be the gatekeeper of who is allowed to miss and honor my husband. You know, that to me is like ridiculous.
I know. And I don't know if it was set off because of the whole Bruce thing. I don't want to, surely not, man. Well, really?
The holidays are coming up for this family. So that's got to trigger some really awful memories in her mind.
No doubt.
I mean, all of that happened right around the holidays, and this is going to be, you know, another Thanksgiving, another Christmas, another New Year that her children don't have their father. That should be acknowledged. That's not easy. If you're the mother there and you have to, and we can say this all we want to, but if you're the mother who's there having to deal with those children who don't have their father there, that's really hard.
I can't imagine.
But shitting on somebody else who would like to honor your husband's memory doesn't make that any better. That doesn't alleviate that situation.
That's the part that bothers me. Right. I just can't. I tell you, man, I'm the kind of person, honestly, honest to goodness, I want to hope there is a beef with Kalisto some stupid petty reason. Even
he didn't shake somebody's hand. He didn't shake somebody's hand.
He accidentally
oh my God, potatoed Chris Jericho back in 1994 or some shit. You know, something happened back when he was Corazon de Leo, you know, back in Mexico, and he hurt Chris's little poor snowflake feelings or something.
And believe me, I believe that could happen. You know, that could feasibly be the case. And if it is the case, then again, won't you tell somebody instead of making your Jericho, won't you tell somebody before you go out and put some retweet like that and then have Amanda like it with some snarky GIF comment about what Jericho said, correcting Kalisto on the spelling of John's name. That just, I don't know, man. It just rubbed me so wrong when I saw that. And I hate that. I hate that shit.
It's terrible. Pretty good Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, because they did a remix of Montreal and they got like 2 hours of Gerald Briscoe just unloading, just unpacking his mind.
Good.
I think I finally got the timeline right on this, and I think I finally believe the narrative on the situation. So I've always questioned, like, well, if they just told Earl right before he goes out to the match, then how is his car loaded up and ready to go and all this other shit? How did that happen? So Gerald explained it in a way that's plausible. First of all, you have to get Mark, you have to get Undertaker out of the way, because if he sees somebody talking with Hebner before the match, his antenna go up, right? Oh, something's going on, because Mark was looking out for shit like this. And he was looking at Hebner, and somebody said to Mark, now this will be the great part of the story. Somebody said, hey, Taker, why don't you go back in Vince's office and watch the match? Now, whoever did that is the architect.
Genius.
This is what did it. So, remember, these are the only people that knew about the finish. These are the only people that knew. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Shawn Michael Hickenbotham, Paul Levesque, Gerald Briscoe. Those four. So we have to tell Earl. So he gets Earl next to Gorilla, and he goes, Earl, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have to fuck him because we got to get the title off of him. This is how it goes. And Earl's like, Gerald said that Earl goes, I don't want to do that. I told him, and I swore on my kids' life, and I wouldn't. He goes, listen to me, Earl. You've got a mortgage. You've got a family. When Brett goes down there to WCW, is he going to pay your mortgage? Is he going to pay your family? And Earl has to think about it, and he goes, all right, fuck it. And he has to come back to him, Gerald does, another time, and go, okay. And Earl goes, all right, I'll do it. So at this point, Gerald gets twin brother Dave Hebner, and says, because there's a tricky situation to get out of the building in Montreal. It's stupid, and you got to go down a freight elevator. And he says, Dave, hot finish on this thing tonight. I want you to go get the car running, get Earl's bag, just put it in there and be ready to go, because it's a hot finish. So Dave didn't even know that they were going to fuck Brett. See, all of this does make sense to me now.
Yeah.
It all does. And now there was...
So Dave basically packed up Earl's car. And
he goes, yeah, I'm going to grab the bag. I'll get the car. I'll have the car running. You get in the freight elevator. Just come downstairs. We'll take off right from the garage, and we'll get past all the really angry French people. This is like the one time that French people don't want to surrender. is when Bret Hart gets fucked in Montreal.
Yeah, this is when they turn into 300, you know.
That's right. This is the one time. So then Gerald said for a day or two there was some heat between him, Pritchard, JR, and Pat because Gerald didn't tell those guys, and they were pissed that he didn't tell them.
Yeah, so I thought that was the one I was going to ask. How did Gerald get in on the mix? What was his duty?
Well, Gerald was given the task, you might remember, you need to go up to Sean's room and show him a couple of holds so that if shit gets bad in there or and Bret tries to do something, he can hook him and get him in like some kind of hold and you know, at least fuck his leg up or something. That was what he was tasked with. That was why Gerald had to be let in on the state secret.
Yeah, no wonder Gerald's all hyped up wanting to tell this shit for all this time.
But he says he would, if it were the same situation, he would do it again. And he just said to Bret, he would posit the question to Bret Hart, what if in your dad's territory somebody would have tried to do this? What would you have done? That's how they've been able to justify it. And of course, the infamous Vince McMahon, I did it for you. I did it for you. I did it for you, Bruce. And you, Pat, you magnificent gay son of a bitch. I did it for you, JR. I did it for you, Bucky Beaver. I did it for you, Cornette.
Such a sweet guy you are.
Everything I do it for you.
I love that movie.
Any closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
Okay. Well, after all the AEW stuff, I noticed... When I texted you about AEW coming to Greensboro and Raleigh, that you didn't text me back. I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, but I got an update on that. Dave Meltzer said the immediate on sale for Greensboro was like 3,000, and that was below what he would have expected.
Wow. Okay.
But let me see on the 20. I might be available on the 22nd. I have to check mine.
Well, I got ticket already.
Oh, you already got you fucker.
Well, I didn't hear back from you, and they went on sale on Thursday, so I went ahead and I had to do.
I do have to work that night. This is like the first
time. Do you really? Oh, okay.
This is like the first time I'm going to be home for Christmas in 2 or 3 years.
Is that the last night you have to work? Because that's like the Wednesday before Christmas.
Yeah, that is likely, yeah.
Damn. Okay, well, I'll be on Fifth Row, so just watch me.
Fifth Row is the label that pays me.
Fifth Row.
Well, enjoy it. I mean, that's two AEW. You got me two AEW shows to nada at this point.
Well, they're coming to Raleigh. I haven't done anything with Raleigh yet. They don't go on sale till this coming week, I think.
Hey, Dax, if you're going to wrestle on that show in Greensboro, don't do anything on the top rope, because last time you did that and Bryant was there, you killed yourself.
God, no doubt. Oh, no,
don't do any high spots or anything.
Mm-mm. No.
Bryant is available on social media at Bry Sports, BRY Sports, Instagram, and Twitter. The show is available on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. My personal Twitter is at Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE. On Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, BDUB, number 4, REELZ. And you can support what we do at katievick.com, because you have like a lot of stuff you want to buy from Amazon for the holidays. So you can do that through our store at katievick.com. And also, if you want to check out the Brad and Britt cast, that is Monday through Thursday and available wherever greater podcasts are served, whether it's iHeart or TuneIn or Spotify or Google or Apple or wherever you got. We're there. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.